This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Instagram teen accounts have automatic protections for what teens see and who can contact them, plus time management tools. And Instagram will continue adding built-in safety features to help create age-appropriate experiences. Learn more about teen accounts and Instagram's ongoing work to protect teens online at instagram.com/teenaccounts.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Man Therapy Podcast. I'm one half of the show, Dan Johnson, and we got Kyle sitting over there, the other half of the show. How we doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing great. I've been trying to get up a little bit earlier in the morning to give myself more time to wake up. So I know it takes me a while to get online, but
yeah,
I'm good. Life is good.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, in the past, at 37, I think we already had this conversation, but somewhere around 37, and I think a lot of it had to do with how much alcohol I was also drinking at the time, but waking up for me from about 37 to, I mean, as recent as, I don't know, a year ago, was really difficult. I mean, I felt like I was in glue every morning.
Right.
It sucked, man. Getting old.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. I've noticed it. It's just so funny how all the tropes end up being true. Everything that when you hear older guys like talking about their aches and pains and all the things that change as they get older and how difficult marriage is and wives and women and all the things. And as a young guy, you're like, haha, whatever. And then as you get older, every single one of them starts coming true and you're like, God damn it. God damn it. That means all the other ones that they say are going to come true too.
Right. Right. And you can't mess up. You can't mess up because, oh, dude, it's crazy. I started doing something recently. Have you ever done anything? And then it instantly reminds you of something that you don't like about your dad, but you're starting to do it.
I noticed
I had some kind of tick or something that reminded me of my dad. Like I sat down and started making noise or standing up. You know, start making noise when I stand up and sit down or before I'm about to move, I'm saying something stupid like, all right, come on, feet, let's go. You know, something like that. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm turning into my dad. I'm turning into my dad.
So true.
So,
Well, it's funny, like my kids will like. It cracks me up every time it happens, but like I'll go to the bathroom and then my kids will come into the bathroom after I was just in there and they're like, oh God. it makes me laugh every time. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. And I don't do it to them on purpose, but it's just always funny. And I just remember that happening to me when I was a kid and like, God, how can someone's shit smell so bad?
Yeah. Well, just wait. Have you ever had a smell or an aroma or something take you back to a memory?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have two in my life.
Okay.
One was we would go swimming in this pond, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the pond water would smell like potato skins.
Oh.
No idea why. Anyway, I had a smell of a potato skin the other day, and it brought me back to that moment swimming at that pond with all my buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
And then the other one is, excuse me, is I took a poop, and it smelled different than all my other poops that I've taken in the past.
Yeah.
And it brought me back to going into a bathroom after my grandpa, like 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, whoa, what's going on here? That's a unique poop smell. It didn't smell gross, but it smelled like an old person definitely did it. So I'm like, oh no, my poop even smells old now.
Yeah, so, that's right. Oh, dude. Oh man, you've got old poop.
I got old poop, dude.
Oh, that's really funny. I like it.
Anything else going on in your life, man? What's going on?
Oh, well, I guess the biggest thing right now is that my stepdaughter has signed a record deal, and mm-hmm. she has like her, and that was a while ago. That was months and months ago, but she lives in Nashville, and she's coming back to the area this weekend, and she's going to have two big live shows. So that's like the big deal around
here.
That's
awesome, man.
Yeah,
where at?
One's at the Olympic Theater in Cedar Rapids, and one's at the Ideal Theater in Cedar Rapids. And honestly, I've never been to either, but there's a show tonight for maybe like 100 people. Mm-hmm. And then there's the show tomorrow night for like 450 people.
Oh,
so
wow.
they both sold out like instantly. And so, you know, of course my wife's all on high alert and super anxious and super excited. And she's been, I'm sure she's bought like 10 different outfits and trying to figure out which one she's going to end up wearing. And it's going to be a game time decision. And it's all it's all just a lot. So I'm trying to kind of be the steady rock. I'm excited too. I'm really excited for my stepdaughter. It's a big deal for her. And I think she's taking it all really seriously, but yeah, so that's what I'm going to go watch her tonight and tomorrow night.
That's awesome.
Tonight there's this, there's these three brothers that are from the area, and they're all musicians, and they moved to Nashville to try to make it in music. And they're going to open for her tonight. And then tomorrow night, her dad is actually a musician, a local musician, and he's going to open for her tomorrow night.
Oh, nice.
So it's neat. It's like all kind of known people that are close. So that's another cool thing about it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a sense of pride there for your wife.
Oh,
seeing your daughter, like, okay, I want to have a moment of self-reflection on me selfishly. Oh. But you know, we had these stories that we talked about on previous episodes where when I started doing what I'm doing, this whole podcasting thing full time, everybody was like, dude, you got to get a real job. You got to get a real job. You got to get a real job. And then once I've made it now, it took almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Then people are like, they're proud to say, oh, my son is a podcaster.
My son owns
his own business. Like, there's a flip there.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment with her where maybe your wife was like, you got to drop this dream and get real with your life or something like that? Or maybe even you was like, okay, move to Nashville, whatever. You know what I mean?
I have a lot of respect for you for going after a thing and saying, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm putting my head down. And a thing that I talk to my clients about often is like, don't try something to see if it works. Just do it until it works. And I think that you did that. And I think that so many people, if they used more stick-to-itiveness, would end up being successful.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of self-reliance and honestly, a lot of guts. It just takes guts, you know, especially when you have like family, you get married and you start having some responsibilities and you freaking build up responsibilities, then it's really hard to take risks. So first of all, I just respect the hell out of you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Her situation was different because she actually wasn't trying to make it in music. She just kind of got discovered. She moved to Nashville just to get out of Iowa, and she was doing hair. She had just finished hair college and moved to Nashville to do hair. Had no aspirations of doing music at all. She just likes writing music, and she's self-taught at writing and guitar. And she was just like posting little clips on TikTok of just her playing her stuff after work. And some record executive saw it and was like, oh, you live in Nashville? We've got a studio in Nashville. Would you want to come down and say hi to people and meet people? She's like, not really. Yeah. Her mom, my wife, talked her into going.
Yeah.
Like, go meet with them. Go see what's up. Go see what this is all about. She's like, oh, fine. So she went and she ended up really liking it. And then they invited her to come back another time. Ended up staying for a long time and liked those people a lot. And they ended up offering her a record deal. So she wasn't even trying. It just fell into her lap, which is really wild, especially considering how many people in Nashville moved to try to make it. And then someone gets discovered that wasn't even trying. But you know what? That's another thing that I talk to clients about is you don't know what your story's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just go after stuff. Go out there and live life. Go do a bunch of stuff. Give the universe a bunch of stuff to work with and things will happen for you. Life's not going to hunt you down and come find you in your parents' basement and drag you out and make big things out of you. Like, you got to go out there and give the universe something to work with.
Yeah. Wishing, right? I love that that one quote from Grumpier Old Men, that movie, where it's like, you can wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one gets filled up first.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that quote because it actually means something, man. You got to go. You got to go try. And you know what? If life throws you a little bit of luck, dude, that's take advantage of it. Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's absolutely awesome. Right.
Yeah. Because I've talked to lots of people just by visiting Nashville. Right. I've been to Nashville several times. I go with my wife every once in a while and we enjoy the Nashville scene and the live music and stuff. And everybody you talk to, whether they're a waiter or a bouncer or a bartender or an Uber driver or whatever, they moved there to chase a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of them, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's crazy to hear success stories like that. And it's actually really motivating, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. I got to brag a little bit.
Ooh, let's hear it.
6 months, no alcohol. I mean that because alcohol was especially for me and my wife, was a huge part in our life.
Yeah.
It was, hey, let's go out and get drinks. Let's do this. Grab a drink. Oh, I need a drink. Let's have a drink. Let's go do a drink. And really what I think not just her, but both of us found out was that we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it. And it feels like life got boring, but health-wise, life got way better.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like relationships are better. Things got way better when I put down alcohol. But now we're going through a stage where I still feel like there's times where I'm like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was having a bad day and I was at the gas station paying for gas and they had those little mini bottles of Jack.
Yeah.
And I was like, just one to relax.
Yeah.
Just one to relax. And I didn't, I just kind of walked away and dealt with it a different way. But, and my wife was the same way last night. She's like, I don't know why, but I want to drink really bad right now. Maybe it was a rough day or kids fighting and arguing and things like that, but we both made the right decision. And I feel like I'm sleeping better. I am not thinking about that. So it's just a more efficient brain pattern, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm more proud of my wife than I am me at this point because I think she needed it and I think she's a better person now because of it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm proud of both of you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, how often does it cross your mind?
I mean, everywhere you go, right?
Wow.
Every time you go to a restaurant or you're at an event, like we were trick or treating and we were at the neighbor's garage, you get offered beer and drinks and it's like, hey, you want to do a shot? And I'm just like, no, I stopped doing shots 20 years ago, but, but it comes up all the time. But once people know everybody I've said is like, oh, really? Congratulations. That's awesome. no one ever is like, pussy. You know what I mean? Like what we used to do when we were in college and high school. You don't drink. Oh, I don't trust you. You know, yeah, shit like
right,
that.
Right.
And so now it's almost routine now to just see something, go, nah, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that version of myself mm-hmm. anymore. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and say it's for everybody. It just for me and my wife, I think it was. So
yeah, dude, yep. Good for you guys. I think yep. that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good. I'm happy you're a healthier version of yourself.
Yeah. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't abusing it. I mean, I always, especially me and my wife, we would always sit down and go, let's just have a drink. You know, we're going to have a drink tonight at like 6 o'clock. Well, that one beer would always turn into two, would always turn into a glass of bourbon. She would have her martinis. And the next thing you know, there'd be something, right? Whether we would like wake up the next morning or we would have a nitpicky argument or just not feel the best and all mm-hmm. that went away. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's great now. I still have bad knees and shoulders, but
yeah, but I didn't care that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's yep. Awesome. Yep.
Good. Yep. Good for you. It's neat to recognize that you can do life without it. Cause yeah. I think you're right. It's just so ingrained in our culture everywhere you go, from like your neighbor's garage on Halloween to every restaurant, to every gas station, to every commercial break on TV. It's just everywhere. Yeah. And then it's so ingrained in our lives that when we stop, it's like, oh, what do I replace this with? And I appreciate that you named it as life felt boring.
Yeah.
I think people are afraid of that. And it's neat that you say it felt boring and it's yep. worth it.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, but you got to, I feel like it's a sign of maturity really is what it is. And I think that some people, and I'm not going to call out people who drink, but I'm going to call out people who drink excessively. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing what I was doing, I was being irresponsible. I mean, maybe I wasn't drunk driving, but I was definitely buzz driving sometimes. Mm-hmm. I was probably drinking one more than I always probably should have. And then I identified it. Some people don't. And some people just, dude, I know dudes in their 60s who are drinking like they are in their 20s. Right.
Oh yeah.
And how they do it blows me away. If I had two beers right now, I'd go sleep for 8 hours.
Dude, me too.
You know
too.
What I mean?
Me too. Yeah, me too. I didn't even purposefully cut back from drinking. Yeah. I just had to because of exactly what you just said. If I have, like, I like beer. If I have yeah. a beer, I'm going to get tired. Yeah. It's like, I can't get tired. I'm only 42 yeah. and my kids are 9 and 7. Like, yeah. I can't get tired at 6 in the evening because my son wants to play soccer in the house and then wants to play basketball in the house and then wants to play tag and then wants to play tackle football in the house and then wants to wrestle. It's like, dude, I can't be lethargic. I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough, man. I did all of that for my kids and I have more energy. I just yeah. do. And now I can focus on my kids and I want to be doing those things. Like last night, my oldest boy, he goes, hey dad, can we go down on the wrestling mat and work on some moves? If I would have had one beer, I would have been just, can we do it tomorrow, buddy? Pushed it off. Yeah. And last night I jumped at the opportunity. I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I went down there and worked with him. And so it was awesome. it right there. That one little moment is worth that 6 months of not
yeah.
drinking yeah. at all.
Yeah.
So
dude, what would early 20s Dan think of mid 40s Dan?
Loser.
No, he would not.
Oh dude, early 20s Dan Johnson. Dude, you don't know who this guy was. He right? is such a different version of me. I'm going to say this. I've always been kind of kind and outgoing towards people. Mm-hmm. But that version of myself didn't care about others as much, very self-centered, like mm-hmm. all 20-year-olds are probably, a straight up alcoholic, mm-hmm. just like binge drinking 5-6 nights a week, getting hammered, yeah. going to school. And that lasted for 10 or 15 years, right? That version of me. And so I would look at me now and be like, God, how boring is your life? And on the opposite side, I look at my life now and I go, dude, I won the lottery every day with my family.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. right? I'm just like, yes, there's bumps in the road, but geez, man, it's so my life, I'm in a good spot. Like, yeah. I feel great about my, now, if I made more money, that'd even be better yet.
Right.
But my dude, I've one thing. Okay. This year has, how do I put this? I don't want to hog this conversation.
Oh, dude, take as much space as you need.
But so, as you know, I'm a serious deer hunter.
Yeah.
Okay. And the best times to go out and hunt deer are in the last couple weeks of October and the first couple weeks of November. That's when the deer start to move a lot. That's when they're walking around. That's when the big bucks, like what I'd like to chase, show up, and you go out and you shoot them, right? That's uh-huh. That's the goal. The last couple of years, man, my priorities have shifted so much towards my family that I am just not, I'm still passionate about bow hunting,
yeah.
But my goal has shifted because I don't want to miss much with my family anymore, man. They are literally my favorite people to hang out with. I don't have a ton of friends. I just like being a dad.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I just wanted to, like, this year, like, there, I was gone for 4.5 days, came back to coach a wrestling tournament, stayed another extra day. Then Monday morning, I got the kids on the bus, and then I left to go hunting again.
Mm-hmm.
And then while I was there, I was just like, I want to be at home. Like,
yeah.
And so I had this thing, bow hunting for whitetails and bow hunting in general, that has always taken up a gigantic part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, it's taken up less and less.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just like, I can do both, but putting in the time that I have in the past is just, for me, not really an option anymore. Yeah. So I've shifted into this new era, I guess. Like Taylor Swift says, it's my dad era, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to really describe it other than I really, really like hunting, but I like my family more. And so I'm just like, I need to find a way to hunt closer to home, basically, so I can be there. But yeah. Like, my goals of shooting a big deer are not where I live. They're in other areas and right. The access that I have. So right. I have to try to find a balance there. And so
yeah.
whether that is stress, here's my question for you from a balance standpoint. Do you ever have days where you're talking with somebody and maybe you have heard, like, cause all you do is hear negative shit all day long for the most part, right? You get a person at their, who is dealing with something, they're telling you problems and problems and problems and problems. Yeah. And you're human, dude. Do you ever have days where you leave your counseling gig and have to make like a hard pivot back to happy, friendly dad, Kyle?
Yeah. Yeah. The days that's hardest for me is when my clients are particularly stuck. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually, a lot of the time my clients are pretty inspiring, that meeting with my clients energizes me, because what's cool about them is, yeah, they're people that come in with, you know, real problems and pretty problem saturated lives, but they give a shit and they're really trying. And like, I respect the hell out of that. I think that's super cool. Like, I'm not meeting with a bunch of, like, you know, thumb twiddling, like, oh, let me just like bitch about my problems. Like, that's not what my clients are like. They're talking about their real problems. They're super open to feedback. They really want to make changes. I see them like trying hard to make changes from week to week. So that actually is pretty energizing. Sometimes it's depressing when I hear bad things happen to good people. That's always a kick in the stomach when there's some like really good person and something super shitty happened to them. I hate that. It's you know, just like you would. It's enough to make you sick if something really bad happens to a good person that didn't deserve it, and it was no fault of their own that this bad thing happened to them. But man, I just respect the hell out of them. But to the point of just hearing a lot of negativity all day, some days that does affect me. I'd say that's a lot less often than a person would guess. I think what's hardest for me is, like, let's say I have six clients back to back to back all day. It's just very hard for me to sit still for 6 hours straight. It's kind of funny that I ended up in the profession that I am in, because I'm a very active person.
Yeah,
and
you
I
mentioned
need to
that.
Move
yeah.
a lot, and I just yeah. sit, and that's rough for me. So that's hard for my concentration. But generally speaking, I actually don't get too drained by my clients themselves. Like, I actually get pretty inspired by them. Another thing that I wouldn't have predicted, but I've totally noticed from my profession, is that I get humbled every day. So I've got my own stuff going on in my life, just like you do and everybody. And I might be like stewing about this thing that I'm mad about. And then I'll meet with like 3, 4, 5, 6 clients in a day. And some of them are going to talk about stuff that's way heavier than what I got going on.
Okay.
And when they're talking about like heavier stuff, I have to be like, oh yeah. My stuff, not that it's not significant, not that it's not important, but dude, yeah. it puts it into perspective real quick. Yeah.
I joke about this, and it's a joke, so just relax. But I always call that those white people problems.
Yeah, white people like, problems.
You hear, yeah,
you're, problems.
Yeah, you hear someone being like, "Oh my God, my, you know, they didn't have like." I heard someone a while ago is like, "I was looking for the 25, and all they had was the 24 Tahoe," and blah blah blah. I'm just like, "Yikes!" Yeah. If that's what you're stressed about in life, holy yeah. shit! Like, yeah, I feel seriously. Sorry for you, man.
Yeah, you know? I can't get the leather package with the chrome package I wanted. This is so stupid.
Stupid. I'm talking to the CEO today.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure. It's like, yeah, dude, I hear you. I couldn't live with that.
Yeah. Or like when someone gets their coffee order, it's like, okay, I want a quadruple shot of blah, blah, blah with an extra spray of spritz and this and that with a sprinkle of this and foam and that. And then they get it wrong. And it's like. And they start bitching about it.
Oh, yeah, they're actually upset about that.
But it's awesome that you have the ability to hear all that shit. And then instead of you go, well, my life is actually awesome.
Oh, right? Yeah.
My life is actually.
Dude, it's really true.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yep.
You know, also, it is kind of fun about my job. So first of all, again, the vast majority of my clients aren't like that. Like, they're coming in with like, they're like good people that are like trying their best at life. And like, a lot of my clients have just been dealt shitty cards and they're mm-hmm. trying hard to deal with them. Other clients have like made messes themselves, but now they've matured and realized it. And they're just like, they're willing to do the work to clean up their own messes. So I really respect my clients a lot. But, and a fun thing about my job, and I say this to a lot of my clients, like, I'm friendly, but I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, part of the value that I bring to this relationship is I have to be real with you.
Yeah.
And so, like, if there's a thing that I think a client needs to hear, like, I'm the guy that's got to say it.
Yeah.
And there are things that, there are things about people that everybody else knows, but nobody is telling that person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy that has to say it.
Yeah.
And so I will. So I'll develop a good relationship with them, and I'll be like, hey, I noticed something. Can I give you some feedback that might be hard to hear? And they're always like, yeah. And then I say it and they're like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me. I needed to hear that.
Have you ever tried to do that with your wife? And does it work the same? Like, or another loved one where you bring logical, professional Kyle to the conversation or argument and you're like, okay, I need to tell you something that you're not going to like, but mm-hmm. here it is. You say it, and they don't have a client reaction. They have I'm your wife or brother or somebody reaction.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. It's pretty hit and miss. I'd say for the most part, like, this is another thing that I think is hilarious, is that oftentimes the people that love us the most are very poorly positioned to give us feedback.
Yeah.
Or like the people that we should be willing to hear feedback from, we don't want to hear it from, you know. Yeah. Like, if my wife says something to me, I'm like, oh God, shut up. And if I say something to her, she's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, no, we love each other more than anybody. You know, yeah. We should be able to hear it, but like, it's just funny how spouses don't want to hear it from each other. But if their best friend says it to them, if their counselor says the same thing to them, they'll actually hear it. That shit
eat it up.
Too.
They'll eat it up. Yep.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. And it's like, wow, yeah. I've been saying that for years, but I'm glad that random stranger said it to you for $120 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. God. Man, just imagine if you would have listened to me.
Yeah.
What is that? Why is that? Like, do you know, is there a special category that falls into?
Dan, that's a super good question. I would bet that there is. I bet that there's been research done about it, and I don't know. I just think that we have some defenses up.
Even with the person that, even to a person that we've been married to, or like, for example, and I'm this is just an example. This isn't really what happens in my life. Let's mm-hmm. I've known my brother for 40 years, right? Okay. I feel like if there's anybody I could ever talk to about anything, it'd be him or give advice to. But then there's things like, for example, maybe that's a bad example. I was going to say, if I was to give my brother advice on raising kids, I would never do that because they're not my kids. But I'm trying to think of an example where, the only thing that just keeps coming back to is like my wife and being like, and then like someone that you've been with so long and there's still a guard up. Like I would feel like of any place you should not have a guard, it's with your wife or your husband.
I totally agree. Oh, I totally agree. Actually that's a good little segue we can promote. I think our next episode we're going to bring in a therapist that has a lot of experience working with couples, and I think that'd be a great question to ask her. I'm actually going to write that question down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where it gets like real tricky. I'm so excited for this conversation. I know she probably has time constraints, but I could sit and talk to this gal for hours.
Yeah,
about like, you know, we'd be like, what about this scenario? What about this scenario?
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I'm just trying to, cause I feel like part of it, there's like, do you feel like a lot of, okay. How do I put this? The people that you talk to, do they have individual problems, or are there problems that they have because of other people? Are other people kind of tied into their problems?
Yeah, both. And it's both. A lot of other people being tied in.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, I see a lot of people for relationship issues. I just don't do couples counseling.
Right.
And I do, I refer a ton of my clients to couples counseling. I have a lot of people that come in and say, man, I'm not getting along with my wife. I'm not getting along with my husband. I'm not getting along with my boyfriend or girlfriend, or like we have these barriers coming up. And I like the work that I feel like I can do with them is to say, hey, let me help you identify what you really think and feel. Let me help you identify your talking points and all of the evidence for those things. And let me help you like lay out your case so that it can be well thought through. Cause I think a lot of times the part of people's problem is they don't argue well on the spot. And then when arguments happen, when discussions happen, they turn into arguments, and then things get heated, and that's why barriers come up. So I help them do all of that work, like in a really calm way. And then we do the work of like, all right, now if you're going to deliver this message to your spouse, what's a way that you think you can say that message in a way you think they're actually going to be willing to hear? Knowing your spouse, like I've never met them. And so then we'll do that work. Well, my wife hates it when I say da, 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 or I know that she'd be more receptive if I say it like this. And I say, okay, like how much do we need to set the table here? You know, how much do you need to like grease the wheels before you bring this thing up? And like, what type of caveats do you need to say ahead of time? And like, hey, like, I don't want to start an argument. I really just want to have a calm discussion about this. I respect X, Y, and Z about you. You know, we talk about sandwiching criticism, which is by, when you say something like this, all has to be honest and true, but sandwiching criticism or sandwiching hard things to say, you say something nice and kind first, like, hey, I love you. You're my person. I care about you more than anybody else. This is the most important relationship to me. That's why I really want this to be healthy. there's a couple of things that I want to talk about. I'm worried that you're not going to be receptive to them, but I hope that you will be. Can I share those things? Yes. Okay. Then you share them. And then after that, then the other part of the sandwich is to say, and I really hope that I didn't hurt your feelings, and like, let me know if there's any more that you need to know about this. I love you to death. I hope that you take all of this the right way in a constructive way. I'll be open to feedback from you as well. So we do all that work. And to be honest, a lot of times it's really successful that a person they'll go to their partner like that and it will be successful. Mm-hmm. And then there's other times that they go to their partner and they do everything right. And it doesn't go well. And then it's like, all right, well, there's a bigger block there and I'm not really probably going to be able to work with just one person on that. So then I refer them to couples counseling because maybe the other person needs to have their thoughts aired as well. Because mm-hmm. sometimes that's the case. It's like, if you and I were married and you've got some stuff you need to say to me, but I'm harboring a bunch of resentment towards you, I'm not going to be invested to hear anything that you have to say until I've had a chance to air my grievances. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes couples counseling can be useful in that way, that it's a safe place for both people to lay it all out on the table. So then they can kind of start with not a clean slate, but more like fair ground mm-hmm. start on.
Yeah. Everything just seems so complex, right? Like I get really, I don't want to say jealous, but I hear people talk about their relationships sometimes, whether it's with a, right around the hunting season, right? For example, there's some guys like, dude, my wife's so cool about it. She doesn't care. She's like, just go, you know, have fun. She'll pack me my lunches or whatever the case is. And I look at that, I go, I'm jealous of that. I'm so jealous of that. But everybody handles relationships different. And I have to keep telling myself, like, I don't get to see inside of their house and what that relationship is like.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it's difficult. Like I just have to, what's that called? Where you look at something, you go, God, it must be nice. But
oh, yeah,
then
the grass is greener.
The grass is greener, but then you also realize like you're only seeing the facade, yep. like the, yep. the cover of the candy and not yep. what's actually in it. It could be yeah. poison. Right. Yeah. And so,
yeah. No, you're exactly right. That's smart. Yeah. That's smart of you to realize that, because a lot of people don't. They stop at the step of seeing. They want to cherry pick the best things from everybody else's life and their kind of social highlight reel, and they don't have that next insight that you had, which is, yeah, and also you never yeah. really know what's going on. And they might have, like, just because this thing isn't their issue doesn't mean that they don't have a different issue.
Exactly. I like that. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I'm excited for next week to get into the conversation with what do you have a name? Are we allowed to share a name?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I had it pulled up. Her name is Leanne Peterson.
Perfect.
And she is a therapist in Texas, and I'll be excited for her to come and introduce herself and tell us all about herself.
Perfect.
Leanne,
I like that.
Yeah, and she was a referral from another therapist that I know personally and have a lot of respect for. So I'm really excited to meet Leanne and just grill her. I just want to grill her.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I like it. I like it. That it's a woman too, because yeah. I feel like it will give a different perspective. Right.
Yeah, agreed.
Because sometimes guys could just agree with each other. You're like, oh yeah. My old lady drive me crazy. Oh, I get it, man. You know, but mm-hmm. right. And so I think the line of questioning that we will have for her will be different as it would to a male. And so I'm actually really excited for this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Are you ready to kind of switch topics again?
Sure.
I want to talk about, screen time
with
kids.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, every single thing that I read about screen time and what these kids are watching and how it's made, and sometimes So, for example, Cocomelon. Do you remember Cocomelon when the kids were probably a little smaller?
Yeah, I remember it.
It's like a singing baby. Ba 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 da, do 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 do, ga ga da. That's that cartoon I heard. I don't know if it's 100% true, but is scientifically created to have kids sit down and basically be hypnotized by it. The attention span on the chord changes in the music and all that stuff and scene changes correspond with music changes and things like that. It keeps a kid, their brain just going click, click in, click in, click in. And it's designed to just continue to zone them out, basically. So it's the same thing with like social media these days and reels and YouTube shorts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I am having a serious internal conversation with myself and my wife about removing all devices from the household.
Yeah.
Like what are your thoughts on some of this stuff, man?
Dude, I think electronics are horrible. I notice an enormous difference in my kids when they're on them a bunch versus when they're not. And to me, that's enough proof. And I feel some amount of guilt and shame for allowing them to have that stuff, even though I'm highly against it. And it's a place that my wife and I differ. She's much more okay with them being on it, on that stuff than I am. I think she's not to shit on her, but she's totally fine with it being a babysitter. And it's like, well, if they're on that, then they're not bothering me or causing problems or fighting with each other. And I'm more like, well, I'd rather deal with the fallout. And I actually think like if a person was brave enough to remove that stuff from their kids, I actually bet it would be like one hard week and then you'd have some like age appropriate kids again.
Yeah.
It would be a hard first few days for sure. Probably a hard week. And then after that, like things would get better. And I'll tell you a story. Can't remember if I've ever told you this before. So my son, who is 7, he was like pretty addicted to his iPad. He was on it a lot. The iPad was misplaced for a short time and he thought he lost it, left it somewhere in public. I found it after like a couple of days, but I didn't tell anybody I found it. And so the whole family thought it was lost, gone forever. And so I kept it and I hid it. And I hid it for weeks. And those weeks were awesome. My son, like, was a different kid. Way better. Way more age-appropriate. Happier. Wanted to play more. Use his imagination. Stuff like that. I did not want to give that back to him because I saw the night and day difference of how bad it was. Well, and I didn't even tell my wife that I found it. And so she's like, oh, geez, I think we should buy another iPad. He really needs this. Like it would give him something to do. And I'm like, no, we totally shouldn't do that. He's a way better kid without it. Well, I think she was about to buy one and I was like, hey, don't buy one. I actually have I found it. I know where it's at. I just don't want to give it back to him. She was basically like, okay. She was okay with not giving it back to him. Well, then they took a trip to Nashville to visit my stepdaughter. And I was not able to go on that trip. I had another trip planned to go to a buddy's retirement in San Diego, so I couldn't go on the trip. So my wife's all worried about, oh my gosh, how are the kids going to get along and how are they going to be entertained when they're bored and stuff? And she's like, I want to give them the iPad back for this trip. And I'm like, please don't do that. Like, please, please, please don't reintroduce that to his life just for like, so the thing can be easier for you for 4 days. Like, please don't do that. She's like, I really think I need to. Those 4 days are going to be hell if he doesn't have the iPad to play on. I'm like, just please don't do that. Find any other way to get through those 4 days. Cause if you give it back to him, you're never going to be able to take it away. Well, she gave it back to him. And so he had it for those 4 days. And it's exactly as I said, that it's now it's just back in his life and he's on it all the time and he watches stupid bullshit that's not good for him at all. It's always a fight to get him off it. He's always in a really bad mood around it and it's like, it's just horrible. So if you could, man, if you could get on the same page as your wife and get rid of that stuff, within a few days, you're going to see an enormous change in your kids. And then if you can have the guts to keep that stuff away from them or to like limit it severely, your kids are going to be way better off. My son was so much better off when he didn't have it. I'm just sick that he has it back. I hate it. Like I'm tempted to smash the thing. I hate it. I hate it for myself too. Like when I'm on my phone too much, I'm like, God, what a piece of shit, Kyle. You could have done so many other things. I'm experimenting with ways of getting off of my phone. And whenever I do it, I feel way better.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for me, I always use the excuse, well, I need to be on social media for my job a little bit, which I do, but I don't need to be on it as much as I am. Mm-hmm. Right. I can get my shit done on social media in about 30 minutes, an hour. But what you, and this dude, it is an addiction. If you are going on, if you're going on to just check an email and you subconsciously click on Instagram and start going whoop, 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 that's called an addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what these kids have. And they have an addiction so early on in their brain development, it is fucking their mind up.
Yeah,
I have every research that I've ever read. I have teachers saying a majority of the kids in their class who have behavioral problems are kids that probably go home. She's like, I don't know, but because all the kids have iPads, it's all digital learning now at school,
right?
And they're trying to get on something and do something different other than just the learning. So they probably go home and they sit on an iPad all night long. That is child abuse, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, it's horrible.
And so this is where it becomes frustrating for me. Because there are times when I am busy and my wife is busy, and there's the relief of giving them an iPad and letting them be quiet because of that, so we can get shit done. But I'm over that. I'm like you, dude. I think I'm gonna go. I'm just like, after this episode, I think I'm gonna go downstairs and hide it and not tell my wife where it's at, and just be like, listen, I'm not. We're not going to do this anymore. We're not doing it anymore. And then they try to go to YouTube on the TV, like, cause it's the TV is a big iPad. You can just click the button and scroll. Like, I think at some point you got to just gut it out and be a parent.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and that might sound insulting to some people, but it's the truth, right? You talk about telling people the truth. If you are parenting with an iPad, that's not how you do it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to sit here and say that I'm better than anybody because of that one simple thing, because I make parenting problems, like mistakes all the time. But I just don't think a five-year-old needs to be on an iPad for hours and at a time. Like, and if your kids have behavior problems that stem from not getting an iPad, well, you need to nip that in the butt. And like, just kids not wanting to go outside and play outside because of iPads blows my mind. I'll never get behind it. And it's awesome, the cell phone and being able to communicate in ways with each other and spread good things and messages. But there is an equally devastating side of this technology, and like, it's almost, I'm almost to the point where I'm just like, I want to, if I didn't have this job where I had to have it, I would go back to a flip phone and never have social media again.
Oh yeah. I think a lot of people are tempted to do that. I think that sounds very appealing to a lot of people. That sounds appealing to me. I've had that exact thought.
Yeah.
I wish I could just go back to a flip phone. I've been so tempted to just do that.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I feel like a piece of shit too, where I'm just like, I'm on my phone. I just chewed my kids. You're always on the iPad. Get off the iPad. And then I go to my phone and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I could be answering work emails, but they're seeing me on a device.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I try to distance myself from my phone or get as much of that shit done while I am at, while I'm at work.
Yeah.
Or while the kids are gone from school. Yeah. But my wife does the same thing. Like, one of her things she does is before she goes to bed and the kids are still up, she'll sit on her phone and scroll through Instagram. right? And it, I don't care if it's recipes or if it is, it's not about what content you're scrolling on. It's mm-hmm. about the time and the dopamine hit for every single scroll that you make.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. It's also scientific against you.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's like every, you know, when you use such a poignant example to me of, would they rather be on their devices or would they rather go out and play? Like yeah. nothing compares to being on the electronics. Nothing compares to it. It's just the purest form of unearned dopamine. You just get to sit there like a lump on a log and not have to do a damn thing. And you're just fed dopamine. It's yeah. like, dude, my son rides dirt bikes. My 7-year-old has a motorcycle yeah. and we could go ride anytime. And sometimes I'm like, dude, beautiful day. Let's go ride, man. He's like, meh, scrolling, yeah. watching yeah. dumb shit that is inconsequential. He's not learning anything. It's just, he's just hooked into it. It's like, oh my God, dude, nothing compares. Nothing can compare to sitting there and swiping.
Yeah. Yep. And so that is the big thing, like just the science behind it, right? And then the other thing is like the way these kids are rewarded. And what I mean by that is your brain is rewarding you, and whether that's the dopamine we kind of talked about. But they say that research, like some of the research, like this game Roblox that these kids play. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, these video games that these, there's no losing in it. You just keep winning and you keep winning. And it, so you never have to start over. Like, remember when we were, when like you would get 3 chances in Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And then if you failed, boop, then you got to start all the way over.
Yeah.
And from the beginning or Mike Tyson's Punch Out, right? You'd get like 2 chances at the guy. If you didn't yeah. beat it, you got to go right back up through the beginning again.
Yeah, when it meant something to get into those upper levels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so now they're creating these video games that there is no losing. And yeah. these kids are, it takes seconds to watch a plant grow. There's this game called Grow a Garden. And you plant a seed and you can literally watch it grow as time goes by. And then it grows some fruit. You take the fruit and you go sell it and you get more money to buy more plants and garden. And it's just, it's a cycle, yeah, right?
That forever. Right.
And I read an article yesterday about how these games are now, there's no, you don't die in it. You don't.
Yeah. There's no end point. There's no natural end point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
it's crazy. So I don't know. Long story short, I'm really thinking about just getting rid of, just doing a big purge in our house and getting rid of all of it.
Yeah.
Like getting rid of all of it.
Yeah.
So,
yep. I think it could be awesome. Yeah. I can sense my brain being like, oh, well, there could be like special occasions or special times that you would let them get back on. And I even think that's how insidious it is.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Oh, we need this kid to be quiet at a church service or a funeral or something like bullshit.
Yeah.
Like that you just, it's drugs. It is a drug.
Yeah.
And you just, so it's just like telling an addict, oh, well, we don't want it for you because it's bad for you. We're not going to give it to you because it's bad for you, but let's just give it to you now just to shut you up.
Yeah. When it's convenient for me, you can have
exactly.
It's a 3-hour car drive. Yeah. You can do some cocaine during this 3-hour drive. Cause it'll it'll keep you happy.
Yep, exactly. Not going to happen.
Right.
Okay, there's that.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else about devices or like, because I think the hardest part is also getting my wife. I think my wife's on board with it, but from the convenience standpoint is I think where she'll be, well, what about this?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And
no more.
To name how ubiquitous this problem is and how much of a hypocrite I feel like talking about it. And I bet probably every single person listening to this podcast is going, yeah, 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 no kidding, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're all guilty of the same thing. But yeah. I can tell you from experience that time that I kept the iPad from my son for probably a solid 2 months, dude, he was just a different kid, and it was yeah. way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yep.
It was hard
absolutely.
At first. And I'll say, and actually, he was pretty freaking addicted, and it was really only like 2 days. That they were hard for him. The first 2 days were rough. Like, where is it? We have to find it. I need it so bad. And then, you know, after 2 days, it was like a little bit of that. And then it just tapered off. And then he just did other stuff. He played with his toys. My kids have so many toys. They never play with them.
Mm-mm.
You know, especially my son. My daughter will play with her toys. She's got an imagination. But my son, he's either on an electronic or he's like, Dad, let's do something active, which I'm all for. Like,
yeah.
Cool. But yeah, he's just then back to the electronics. So I'm with you. I'll be interested to hear what you yeah. end up doing.
How much time you got left? Because I want to end it, or I want to start a kind of it. We're it's like a vice type deal.
I've got time. Like, I've got time. Okay. I've got like an hour and a half.
Okay, perfect. All right. So we talked about alcohol. We talked about like screen time and phones and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at? How's your diet?
Mm.
We haven't talked about that in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is your diet?
It's not great, and it's up and down. Like every day I care about it, and some days I do really well and some days I do poorly, and it's highly frustrating to me. I've never had good eating habits my entire life. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to get away with it because I worked out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I ate like garbage and had an 8-pack because I would lift every day and run miles every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny because in my mind, that's still how I think of myself, but I haven't been in shape in like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to level with myself and admit that's not even me anymore. So I always think in my mind like, oh, I'm just like a little bit away from that. Like I could get back to that. It's like, dude, you're not that guy anymore. You're not fit. You're freaking fat and out of shape. Like I have to admit that. And I it's way easier for me to eat well when I'm exercising. And so I need to get the gym back in my life.
Yeah.
And I've got that trickle going. I've started the gym that you used to go to that, you know, that I'm a member of still. Mm-hmm. I went there I think I went there twice last week. And for the first time in months, because I keep having these physical issues, I was going there and killing it. Dude, I had lost like 20 pounds of fat, gained like 5 pounds of muscle, get way more stamina, way more energy, way more strength, feeling way better. And then I dislocated a toe. And it's like, oh, damn it. All right. So that took me out of the gym for like a month and a half. And then I was like, all right, cool. I'm back to it. And then I hurt my lower back moving an engine with my dad. And that took me out for like another month and a half. And then I recovered enough to get back to it. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I cut my finger off, the end of my finger off in a dirt bike chain. And that took me out for like 2 months. And then I got Bell's palsy where one side of my face went completely paralyzed. And that kept me out. And it's like just this series of unfortunate events. But now I'm trying to get back into it. But no, to your point, my diet's not awesome. It's actually probably, I do well until I don't. Like I could do awesome all day long and then eat a shit dinner, or even do well through dinner and then eat shitty snacks because I stay up too late or something. And that's probably the biggest place in my life where I look at myself and I think, dude, you're 42 years old. Get a grip, man.
Yeah.
Get control of yourself. Like what are you doing?
Yeah.
How
it's
about
a
you?
Hard, dude. I'm having it right now too. Like I stepped on the scale at the gym yesterday and I weighed something. So I was like, I'll just say 240, between 240 and 245, several years ago. And I wasn't doing shit. Like I wasn't lifting. I mean, I was probably doing some lifting, but there was zero cardio, blizzards, candy, just shit, like processed foods, just horrible, right?
You and your blizzards. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a blizzard guy too.
Yep. And so I joined the same gym you did and I got motivated to do something and I got like in the greatest shape of my life. Injuries happened, catching up, like all that stuff, just not being consistent. And then now I'm right back where I started. Like I hopped on the scale yesterday and I'm like, or this morning I was 229, right? And so I've crept up from like 212, 210 up to this point. And it is 100% because I am a glutton for food. And I'll say it, dude, I'm almost positive if you were to talk about this addiction thing again, I'm almost positive I have a addiction to sugar.
Yeah, me too.
And I need to, I desperately need to break that cycle. And not because if you look at me right now, you go, I look fat in jeans and t-shirt. but just the health that, like, the blood vessels, the heart, like, yeah, that kind of stuff. It's just, I'm on blood pressure medication already, and I've been on that for several years, but I am at a place where, like, I'm 45 now. I turned 45 last week. Dude, I got to start taking better care of myself, period. Or yeah, I'm not going to accomplish the goal of making it to 90 years old.
Right.
You just, I'm just not. My body, like, the diet that I have, I am such a binge eater where I'll do, like, I don't eat breakfast. I'll eat a healthy lunch. And then after lunch, I'll just have a little trick or treat candy. Oh, well, we're out. Let's go get a Blizzard. Okay. I'm going to come home after the Blizzard and I'll eat somewhat of a healthy supper. And then it's like, but I'm not eating a healthy supper if I'm having three portions of it.
Yeah. Right.
Then after supper, what should I do? I'm going to have some more candy or some treat or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I try to get to bed and I'm snoring because I know that my body, if I eat too late in the night, I'll snore and I'll get shit sleep. And then this cycle starts to happen where I'm just like, I know the answer, but I'm not doing anything to fix it.
Yeah.
It's, and I have a feeling a lot of people are like that.
Oh yeah. I think so too. Yeah. Yep. I totally think so too. And it's hard. It takes the times that I've been able to be successful, I think, are the times when I was maybe the most sick of myself. And, you know, they say that you really have to decide, like, you have to, like, 100% or 1000% hardcore with yourself, really decide, nope, this is it. Starting right this very second, I'm fucking done eating sugar. I'm not that guy anymore. You know, like, and to connect it to your personality, like, I'm not that type of person. I am the type of person that eats healthy. I'm not the type of person that eats sugar. I'm fucking done with it. I'm 45 years old. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you can get some momentum. What do you think? Like, have there been times where you had momentum and then you fell off?
If so,
what made you fall off? What are your pitfalls?
Well, a lot of it has to do with injury. That's one of them. And that's something that I can't control. But this is where I would say I'm speaking to both of us now. Okay. Mm-hmm. You dislocated your toe. I hurt my knee. Is that going to stop us from doing push-ups or pull-downs or shit like that or getting on a bicycle or, you know, or something, just anything.
That's right.
And then, so it's like, I take this little problem, like my shoulder, if my shoulder's hurting, well, the shoulder has nothing to do with your legs. Go do some kind of lunge or some, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm internally making excuses every single month about why I can't go do this. Oh, I'm too busy or this or that. And it's really, really your own worst enemy at that point.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, the more I say every time there is one of those dips where I go in a real bad food diet with food, I don't go to the gym, that kind of stuff. It's all excuses.
Same.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. And I cannot ever think of a valid reason why. Even when I was the busiest and I had to pick the kids up from school and get them to activities and stuff like that, there's still an hour in my day somewhere that I could have done something. And 100% of the time I had control of what I put in my own mouth. Nobody's forcing me to eat Twix bars.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
It's just a fucking awakening that the more I talk about it, just pisses me off.
Yeah.
And I'm mad at one person, me.
Good.
Right.
Good.
And it just, I don't know. I get frustrated, but then at the time it's like, is a Blizzard even good?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it tastes good. I like the chocolate and I like the ice cream and shit like that, but is it worth it?
Right.
I'm that person, and I think a lot of it has to do from the alcohol. I just have never been a moderation guy. Like, when I go into a fitness program, I go into it 100%.
Yeah.
And then when I'm done with the fitness program, I'm out of it 100%.
Right.
And then that's when I fall back into all the other shit.
Yeah.
And I can't moderate. Like, I feel like I don't know. Maybe that's a personality. Maybe that is a true addiction to shitty food, food addiction of some sort. But I gotta find a way to just cut it off, cut the snake's head off, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have great advice for you around that. It's definitely a thing that I struggle with as well. You know, we had wanted to be accountability partners to each other, and that lasted for like a couple weeks.
Isn't that crazy? How we were so motivated to do that.
Yeah.
And then even that didn't work. Which tells me, anyway, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, tells me that it's got to be here.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And with me, it can't be with anybody else.
Yeah, it's a me problem, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know if this is a crutch, but it's a thing that I do think about. Like, I don't give up on myself. I do think like, okay, Kyle, like one of these days you are going to be able to do it. And I don't know if I need to, I don't know if that's like a safety line that's preventing me from making the shift, or if that's a good thing that will be my inroad back to being healthy. But, you know, I've done it before, and I've done it for long periods. I think my Achilles heel is when there's a wrench thrown in the works. Mm-hmm. So this was a couple of years ago now. I was so sick of myself and just angry with myself for how much sugar I was eating, which was a lot, that I finally said, fuck it, dude. Like this cannot be you. We're not doing this anymore. You're done. And I said, as of right today, right this very second, I'm done eating sugar. And that, to me, that's just extra sugar. Like if there's sugar in like the regular meal that I'm eating like a little bit, then fine. But like, I'm not going to go get Dairy Queen. I'm not going to eat a candy bar. I'm not going to go for anything sweet like that ever. And I gave it up for a year. Yeah. I went a whole year and life was awesome, dude. My heartburn went away. I was sleeping better. My energy was more just consistent, just normal and not like ups and downs and crashes and stuff. My cravings went away. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And the thing that ended up knocking me off of that was when I dislocated my toe and I was sitting around, then I was like, well, I'd be bored. Like I eat when I'm bored. I eat for like a little bit of distraction. I eat for like a little bit of happiness. And so then I dislocated my toe and I'm not working out anymore. And I'm like staying up late at night watching TV when my family's sleeping. I'm like, you know what? Like, so what if I just have like a little bit of this, you know? And so then I let myself, and then dude, that was the end. I just had to break it one time. And then it's like, then that became easy for the next night to be like, well, you know, just a little bit of this.
Right.
Not that big of a deal. And then I was right back to it. Whole year. I went a whole year. So proud of myself. Whole year. No sugar. Just took one flip up. And because of an excuse, and that's exactly back to your point of, if I would have dislocated my toe and been like, okay, I can just do other things, I would have been fine. But I didn't do that. I thought, oh man, I can't do things how I've been doing them. So I just stopped. That was dumb.
Yeah. Yep. That's a fact. I'm not 100% sure. Like here's what I'll say. All I know is that the only reason things don't get done with my self-improvement is because of me.
Yeah.
Right. And I need to just come to terms with that and just be like, dude, you like, this is where I talk to myself in weird ways. Mm-hmm. Like I'll be like, dude, you are a fucking pussy.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
What a puss. Like, what a piece of shit you are to think that you're going to actually, cause I've even had these internal thoughts where it's like, oh, it's summertime or summer's coming up. I'm going to get real ripped for summer. And I'm going to start in 2 weeks. I'm going to go on this program. 2 weeks hits. I'm like, well, I'm kind of busy. I'm going to start next week on Monday. Right. Yeah. And then Monday hits. The next thing you know, you've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, holy shit. When are you going to do it? Because if you're not going to do it, I mean, that's even with my business sometimes where I'm sitting here going, all right, I need to make another jump and I need to start grinding on a couple things. I'm going to start next month, this date. And then that month comes and I don't do it. And I'm just like, okay, now what? Yeah. Right. All you're good at is talking, right? You're not good at any action. And that's the hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I don't tend to like negative self-talk, but I do have to admit that if it's really in the name of like self-accountability, I guess I can't prescribe it to anybody else, but I've had a lot of success when I'm like really hard on myself. Like when I gave up sugar for the year, I will admit that my self-talk was like, oh yeah, you little pussy, you want a little piece of candy? You know, what are you, fucking five? Oh yeah, let's take the kids to get ice cream, and like, yeah, you probably need an ice cream cone, don't you, Kyle? Yeah. You know, I just talked mad shit to myself. Yeah. That made me like, it was self-shaming, but it was really more like a drill sergeant, you know, like really laying into you to make you like step up to it and be like, no, that's right. I can take my kids to get ice cream, and I don't need to get ice cream because I'm not a child.
Right. You know, 100%.
Shit like 100%. That. So yeah, my internal self-talk can be real nasty too. And I won't even share the worst of it, but you can imagine.
That'd be funny if you didn't internally think it. You were saying it out. You were just like, you're in the drive-thru of Dairy Queen looking at yourself in the rearview mirror, just like, right. you piece of shit. You need an ice cream cone. And the person's hearing you say that. Like,
right.
Is everything okay, sir?
Right. That would be a funny scene in a movie or something.
Oh, dude. All right. Well, Kyle, great episode. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Go to iTunes. Please give us a 5-star review. Say how much you like this podcast. You can find this episode and all episodes of the Man Therapy Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, anywhere that podcasts are downloaded. Kyle, next week?
Yep. Yeah, very excited to have our guest, Leanne.
All right. Hey, have a good one, man, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed-sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.